to a coworker of mine. She's out, you know, she's in her 70s. She got COVID and had blood clots in her lungs and her legs. She's coming back. Then back to another time when we had another coworker who was sick, and I felt I didn't do enough to witness to her. You know, I don't know that she knew the Lord, and I didn't do it, and I felt that was a missed opportunity. When she came back to work, this coworker who's still with us, I took the opportunity to let her know. You know, she told me she was going to leave absence, and I said, I really don't care about that. All I care is that Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. That's it. Crying, tears in my eyes in her cubicle, telling her, you know, right in the middle of the office.
Praise the Lord.
Right. Hey. And that's where I was. And today, you know, that's where we're in a King James Bible.
Sure.
Gave it to her.
Yeah.
I told her, hey, this is what you need.
Yeah.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for the second chance.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Somebody else.
Hey, Lord, fill her up.
Bless the Lord.
Well, I need you to pray for me. This song's been on my mind in this revival. You know, we think about how sorry we are that we've got problems. But God already knows we've got problems.
Yes, sure he does.
Why should we bring it to him when we can be here doing other things? I mean, that just me now. But anyway, that's kind of the way this song is. He already knows
right.
The problems and everything that we go through. So just listen to the song. Like Elijah of old, I sometimes want to hide.
Right.
Else tonight. That's on your heart. All right. If not, you come on, brother.
Listen, Lord. Lord, help
me.
being in the Lord's house tonight. Glad I'm saved most of all, and certainly appreciate the Lord's grace. Good day today, and thank you again for making the place up yonder feel at home. I'd sent the preacher to ask me, he said, what kind of snacks do you want? I told him, I said, I'd like fruit and some nuts and some oatmeal, milk and some half and half and some spring water. First thing I did when I got there yesterday, I opened the refrigerator, and sure enough, everything was in there that I'd asked for. It's amazing, ain't it? Opened up the freezer part of it, and there's set a lonely three-quarter full quart of chocolate Star Crunch ice cream. Would you know, out of all the healthy stuff that I desired, that I thought I would need to eat, let's look at the Word of God tonight. John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. The merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. John chapter number 12 tonight. John chapter 12 in the New Testament. And then I want to look quickly over here at 2 Samuel chapter number 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and John chapter number 12. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify again. People there, therefore, that stood by heard it, said it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. I want us to look over here at 2 Samuel chapter 6. Verse number 13, and it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Verse number 20. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself." And David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord, which choose me before the found, before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in my own sight. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." These two scriptures have a unique parallel. And I'd like to, for a little while, preach on this thought that was mentioned here in John chapter 12. And that second verse that we read concerning the hour that the Son of Man be glorified. He says, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die." But if it die is the thought this evening. I want to pray, and I want to ask you to pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, we do bow before you one more time, asking God for your direction. Lord, we've stepped out into the direction where you've led us to tonight. And we want to thank you for the service. Thank you for the singing, for the obedience thus far in the meeting. God, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, we're thankful for all that you've done. Now, God, we pray you would guide us by your Holy Spirit. You know what we stand in need of, God, every one of us, Lord. And I pray tonight you would speak, Lord Jesus. Speak by your sweet spirit to the very depths and core of our being tonight, God. Help us once again to be enlightened, God, by your power. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Thank you for praying with me. Interesting little phrase there, isn't it? Just kind of catches the rest of the meaning of what's being taken place here. Jesus is speaking about a piece of corn of wheat, or a grain of wheat. And he says, except it fall to the ground and die, it abides all by itself. But if it die, in other words, the wheat, that one little grain all by itself, he abides alone. Alone abiding. But if that grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it bringeth forth much fruit. We know Jesus here, as he even spoke and said, this he said, signifying what death he should die. We know that Christ was help preparing. See, we have the luxury of having the entirety of the story before us. But his disciples in that hour, in that moment, they don't know the whole story. And even as after Christ is risen, his disciples, they walk on the Emmaus Road and they question themselves. about what has happened concerning Jesus. There's not a full understanding of all that took place when Christ died. What all took place when this wheat was planted in the ground. And so it's interesting that as these disciples, they hear, those around, they heard the voice of God speak concerning His Son, concerning that He would glorify His name and will glorify it again. They said, "Is this thunder?" Some said it was thunder, the Bible says. Some said maybe an angel is speaking to Him. What I find so amazing here in this portion of Scripture is the setting up of a beautiful walk with God, a kingdom from which God Himself sets high on the throne. And when and the luxurious invitation, He says this in verse 26, "If any man serve Me, let him follow Me. And where I am, there shall also My servant be." In other words, when the servant is following Him, he is serving Him. And wherever he is, there his servant is. In other words, they don't have a plan on where they're going to go to. It's where he's going. Wherever he is, that's where they're going to be. And I appreciate the good grace of God working even in this service tonight. But He says, "And if any man serve Me, him will My Father honor." And what a blessed passage to know the opportunity that you and I have as human beings to be called out of darkness into the marvelous light by the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. And we begin here, and in verse number 4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." He goes on and says in verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In other words, the glory of God has a face. The glory of God has an image. The Bible even further tells us this in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1, and in verse numbers 1 and 2. Let us read this together. The Bible says, "God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person, Christ Jesus." John says it like this in John chapter number 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible tells us in James that God gives grace to the humble. He goes on and says to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and that He exalts you in due season or in due time. And so there is this interesting play as Jesus even spoke to Peter and said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed be thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven." And so we see this unique spiritual connection. Oh, that our eyes may be enlightened. Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus that their eyes be enlightened. There were some things that God, that Paul has desired for his church, for the church, the body of Christ, to see in Jesus. Can I say it is a wonderful thing to know some things about God and to be able to walk with God, to be able to serve the Lord in gladness. Well, Paul said it like this in the book of Philippians. It's an epistle full of rejoicing. And in chapter 4 and verse 4, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." There is a neon sign with every arrow pointing to Jesus Christ, that we may look unto Christ, as we spoke last night. But here tonight, as we dive in a little deeper in this invitation to come and die, this invitation to serve the Lord, this invitation to be with Him and follow Him, it is a wonderful, wonderful invitation. Notice the word he says here, to serve, a servant. It's an amazing thing to be a servant. We find the same word used over here in 2 Samuel 6. David is desiring to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the city of God, into Jerusalem. It had been in the house of Obed-Edom. He had tried one time, and you remember Uzziah, when that stumbled on the cart, he reached out and put his hand on it to keep it from falling, and God struck him down dead. It seems like it was a simple act of trying to do something good. It seemed like all he was trying to do was keep the ark of God from toppling over. And in that action, he touched a most holy thing of God, and God struck him down. So in this, we can understand there's something about the nature of God, that God is a holy God. Isaiah said this in chapter 6. He said, those seraphims, he said, "I looked up and I saw these seraphims, these angelic beings with full of eyes and six wings, twain to cover their face, twain to fly with, twain to cover their feet, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And we begin to see that God is a holy God. We know that God is an all-consuming fire. We know that when Isaiah saw him, he said, "Woe is me, a man of unclean lips." David, when he spoke of God, he said, "I am a worm and no man." We know that when John the Revelator saw him on the Isle of Patmos, he saw him lifted up high and holy. The Bible says that John fell down as a dead man before God. An amazing thing to see in the tabernacle when they got the instructions from Moses. God spoke to him and said, "This is how you'll do things." Because God had a desire to dwell with His people. God desired, once the fellowship was broken in the Garden of Eden, God wanted to dwell with His people. But because God is a holy God and His holiness reacts towards sin in wrath and in supreme righteousness and absolute justice, when the wrath of God, when the holiness of God saw its people, it angered God because of their sinful ways, their sinful thoughts. Everything about a man when he was born in that sinful nature angered God. And this anger began to build and build and build. God was dwelling in the tabernacle in the presence of His Shekinah glory behind the veil. God had spoke to Moses and said, do it like this, build this sanctuary, and then in that inner sanctuary, you'll have a table of shewbread, you'll have a candlestick, you'll have an altar of incense, and then behind that, there'll be a veil. There'll be a veil of scarlet and blue and purple, and there'll be cherubims embroidered on that veil, and it was 4 fingers thick. 15 feet wide, and a great height, and it was dark inside there, except that little light that was lighting the way. One time, Aaron's sons, they decide to take matters on their own hands. They take a coal off of another sacrifice that was supposed to be on the brazen altar. They put it in their censers. And they go in haphazardly, shaking those censers. And God struck them down. God even spoke to Moses and said, tell Aaron, don't go in oft behind the veil, for I will kill him. Those high priests, they had bells and silver pomegranates on their robe. Historians tell us they would tie a rope around their feet, and when they walked in, if there was ever the stopping, that they didn't hear the tingling of the bells, they would drag that corpse out from behind the veil. So we see that God is a holy God. His holiness reacts in wrath towards man. But yet the desire was to dwell among His people. The desire was to be with His creation, who was made in His own likeness and in His own image. And what we find so uniquely portrayed is although they had surrounded God in the tabernacle and the encampment, they could not approach God. They could not come to where He was. What we find here so uniquely tucked in the Scripture is this story from which we see David here. He's bringing the ark in. He's done gone back now and realized that God is a holy God. We got to do it God's way or it won't be done.
Right.
So he gets the Levites and they carry in the ark of God. As they're carrying in the ark, David begins to dance. And he begins to, with all his might, worship God. And then there was this daughter of Saul who looked out the window and saw David leaping and dancing. And she despised him in her heart. What was going on was something so transformational that oftentimes we fail to see. Sometimes in our own life, God does things and we fail to see all that He's doing. Can I help us understand this tonight in this understanding and in this light? We know that God in His holiness, and even in our reading tonight, this unique death of the wheat, this unique understanding of bringing forth fruit, this spotlight on Jesus speaking that He would speak about His own death, that He would be lifted up from the earth, He himself spoke about who he is and that he will be glorified. What I find so amazing is just prior to this excerpt from Jesus' words, his disciples are with him, and he pulls out three of the 12, Peter, James, and John. And he says, let's go apart on a mountain. And they walk up a mountain, and while they're up there with Jesus, while they're up there with him, this is prior to crucifixion, prior to suffering. There he is, the Lord Jesus. And they're up there, and before the eyes of the disciples, Jesus is transfigured. They look and they see, and the Synoptic Gospels, one says that his face was brighter than the sun. And that his, Mark said that his clothes were so white that a fuller or that one dedicated to cleaning the garments of the priest to be a pure white was whiter than any fuller could make it. His garments were glowing white. He himself was white. And when they saw him, the Bible says they fell down with fear. John is such an amazing character. He was there. He witnessed the glory of God. Peter was there. He wrote about it later in his epistle. He saw the glory on the mountain. James also speaks and sees the glory of Christ. What he says in this moment is these men see the glory, the expressed image of God. They fall down and they're afraid. They're fearful. Uzziah had touched the ark and immediately was struck down. Now then, these three have seen the image of God, the express brightness of His glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And they fall down fearful. There's a voice from heaven that says, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him." And Jesus touches them and says, "Fear not." Jesus puts his hand on them and says, "Don't be afraid." The God of heaven, from eternity past, Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Ghost of God have dwelt in fullness in the Godhead bodily of Jesus Christ. When he left the portals of glory, Jesus didn't start and didn't begin in Bethlehem. He's always been, always will be. And Jesus, the body of Jesus, veiled the glory of God, that God could have communion with man, that God and his holiness could touch man. I want you to understand the body of Christ, that human body, was the veil that was rent in twain at the temple. I want you to look over here in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 20, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. Yes, he made the way. Yes, Thomas said, "How shall we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me." If you see me, you see the Father. I am God. Woo! What a Savior. And he touched them. They was not consumed. There was no more fear. But if he abides alone, it would have just been him. The only member of the human race. Lest it fall to the ground and die. And if it die, it'll bring much fruit. And he said, "And if any man serve me," that, golly, mom. If any man serve me, he's not alone. Oh, it says, "Let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be." Wherever he is, that's where we're going to be. By following in those footsteps. When he peeled back and they saw who he was, he veiled that glory. He continued. They didn't quite understand. Peter says, "Man, this is great. Let's build a tabernacle for Moses and for Elias and for you. We'll just have a big old time up here." And the voice of God spoke out and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." And they opened their eyes. They saw no one save Jesus. Those Greeks that came to the temple to worship, they could only go in that outer courtyard of the Gentiles. They could not approach the temple. They could not get in behind the veil. That's why they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And Jesus said, "It's time for me to go. Oh, I know what they're wanting to see. But I've got to die first. That when I die, go down. I know I'm coming up again. And when I come up again, I'm bringing all of them with me, thank God." Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ." Somehow, someway, in the midst of it all, those that are saved by the grace of God was crucified with Christ, that we might be raised also with Christ and seated with Christ in heavenly places, thank God. Now then we look and we see. David has said, she says, "How glorious was the King of Israel today who uncovered himself." I hope y'all picking this up. How glorious was the uncovered King of Israel? He says this. He says, she in her negativity and her despising, she says that you've uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants. That's amazing to me. Jesus, the King, revealed Himself not just to the servants, to the handmaids of the servants. Not the highest one up yonder. Oh no, we know that's the wrong way to come in the kingdom. It's the low way we come in. Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus, and he saw a light coming out of heaven and a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He began to kick, why he fought against those pricks, and he fought against God. Oh, how he saw the revealed glory of Christ as he progressed in his understanding. It went from a light on Damascus Road to a bright light on Damascus Road. He continued his understanding and said, "I saw a light which stood outside the noonday sun." Can I say, as we progress, may our understanding of God be bigger and our understanding of ourselves become smaller. Saul of Tarsus was one that's the Saul, the name comes from King Saul, head and shoulders above all. But he chose to be called Paul. In other words, a Gentile name, a lower name, a lowly name. John the Baptist said, "He must increase, and I must decrease." He giveth grace to the humble, the servant to the servants. It's one thing to be the servant, but could you imagine being the servant of the servants? I'm sure things got passed downhill, aren't you? I mean, if the master said, "I want you to do this dirty job," the servant would say, probably call his servant over and say, "Hey, I got something for you to do over here." That lowly position, the one that gets no recognition in the eyes of man, those are the ones whom he said, "I'm going to reveal myself to. I'm going to show my glory to. I'm going to pull back the cover and let you see who I really am." I don't know about you, but I long to continue to look at Christ. Joshua, in chapter number 13, I think it is, they're in a battle. And the enemies of five kings are coming against them. I mean, there are swords clashing and shields banging, and they're in the thick of it. And Joshua says, "We're running out of time." And he prays and says, "Lord, make the sun stand still. Lord, make the moon stop in its tracks." I got to looking today on that a little bit. The moon is in orbit. And the sun is also in some sort of a long orbit. And the earth is also in its orbit. Each one revolving around each one, somehow in the cosmos, according to the plan and will of God. But Joshua said, "Sun, Lord, let the sun stand still, and let the moon stand still." That means the earth was still moving. So if the earth is still moving during this battle, and the sun is being stood still, and the moon is being stood still, as the earth is moving, and they're fighting against their adversaries, they're looking at different phases, different surfaces of the sun and the moon. Can I just say this tonight? If we think we've seen Him, let's take a second look. You're never going to see enough of Christ. He is the source of our joy. He is the outpouring of love. He is the channel and conduit from which God hath chosen to bring forth our sanctification, our redemption, our happiness, our joy, everything about us that makes us little Christians, that makes us as it was in Acts 11 when they saw that God had moved in this town and they said, we shall call them Christians. In other words, little Jesus. All that encompasses that is gazing and staring and being looked at one more time at Jesus Christ. He says this, the latter part of this. This is what he said. This is what he said now. He said, and I will yet be more vile than thus. In other words, the first uncovering with David and Michael was the transfiguration of Christ. The second unveiling, uncovering is the crucifixion of Christ. And at the crucifixion moment in this passage, he says, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. When we humble ourselves and come the way of the servant, it's in those moments that God reveals Himself unto us. Can I say this, dear friend? It's not about climbing a ladder. It's not about being known among the brethren. It's about little nameless, faceless beings. I hope and pray that people forget my name. I do. I don't want a legacy to leave behind. I want Christ to be exalted. I want people to walk away and say, I forget His name, but man, He loved Jesus. And He shined Jesus. You know, it's amazing when you begin to see how it is coming, just coming the way, coming to Him. I think there's an invitation tonight. Follows the footsteps of Jesus. You see, in that he said, if a corn of wheat die, it'll bring forth much fruit. And then he says, if my servant follow me, in other words, follow in my footsteps, follow after me in what I'm about to do. Not that we are crucified as far as in the physical sense, but in understanding, are you willing to die? And that's the question tonight. If it die. Die to yourself, die to your plans, die to your will. Are you willing to die tonight? It's solemn. It's a solemn question. One side of it, you've got your own plan, you've got your own life, you're moving forward, doing what you want to do. Oh, but a head-on collision with Jesus Christ, cumbling the way of a servant. Can I just say like this tonight, the trade is far better. No one knows the names of them little handmaidens, them little maidservants. Oh, but I say they got a story to tell. I don't know where you sit tonight or where you stand, but I know me and my house. I want to look to Jesus. I want to be one out there in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the darkness, shining Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your grace to us tonight. Thank you for your help. Speak to us now, Lord Jesus. Speak to us. If there be one, Lord, that does not know you, I pray you would bring them to the cross tonight. Father, if there be those among us tonight with our own plans, our own dreams, help us, Lord, to lay them down at your feet. Follow you. Follow you, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's all stand tonight all over the building. Let's stand.